Let's turn back to the Gospel according to John and chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we'll read at verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The gospel is too complicated. The gospel is too hard to understand. Have you ever thought that, said that, heard that? It's one of the most common yet catastrophic lies of the devil. The gospel is too complicated. It's one of the greatest and most dangerous lies of the devil. Why is it so dangerous? Well, one reason is because if we believe that lie, we will not listen to the gospel when it's preached. We, all of us, tend to switch off when we sense something is going over our heads or is too hard to understand. I remember in high school when I was struggling with, I don't know if it was algebra or geometry, and we'd just gone through an incredibly difficult section. I really didn't have a clue what was happening. I remember my father got me a tutor, private tutor, to try and help me through this, and it was just like hours and hours spent on it. It was totally disheartening and discouraging. This section finished, I failed it dismally, and a new section began. And I remember the tutor trying to get this into my head, and I was totally switched off, because the previous section had been so hard, so impenetrable, so difficult to understand, I was shut down. And eventually I remember the tutor saying to me, it's not complicated. She was exasperated. And she was actually right. This new section was incredibly easy. But because my mindset had got so confused and complexified and shut down, even the simplest part of this subject couldn't get through. And the same can happen with the gospel. If we think it's too difficult, it's too complicated, we're not going to listen. We're going to walk in that door for sure, and we'll sit down, and we might look as if we're listening, but we're not listening because we think, what's the point? I can't understand it. The gospel's too complicated. Another consequence of this lie is we'll start making excuses for our spiritual condition. I'm sure some of the parents here are familiar with children maybe not doing very well in their subjects, and the grades come in, and you sit down and talk, and the child says something like, but I don't understand him. He's too difficult. And so the difficulty that is used to excuse the fail or the poor grade. And the same can happen spiritually. We use this lie, it's too complicated, to excuse our lostness, our unbelief. We transfer the blame, we turn it away from ourselves and say, well, it's not my fault. And a third consequence is we suspect simplicity. When we do hear something simple, when we do hear a simple presentation of the gospel, we're very cynical, we're very suspicious, all our guard goes up, we get very defensive, and we push it away. That was basically what was happening to me with the algebra. Even though it was simple, I couldn't believe it could be simple. I suspected that I must be wrong, or this must be wrong. And the same can happen spiritually. You see the catastrophic consequences of believing this lie that the gospel is too complicated. We stop listening. We excuse our spiritual condition. We suspect simplicity. And ultimately, the greatest catastrophe of all, we go to hell with that lie. So you see, this is a big problem, isn't it? It's a big problem if we have believed this lie that the gospel is too hard, it's too complicated. Is there a solution? Well, thankfully there is in this passage before us today, because Jesus was facing hearers who had this lie pretty deeply embedded in them. The disciples had come out of an incredibly complex religious system. Judaism had been overwhelmed with complexity, with complications, with additions, with accretions. It had become a religion for the high and the mighty and the educated and the influential. And Jesus came into this context and came to these disciples and started speaking in very simple language about very simple concepts. We see that even here in the early part of this chapter. Jesus is talking very simply about heaven, about the way to heaven, about the truth of God, about how to come to God. You can see that in verses 1 through 3. It's incredibly simple, incredibly straightforward. In my Father's house are many mansions. He's talking about heaven. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd have put you right. I go to prepare a place for you. I'll come again, receive you to myself. Where I am, there you may be also. It's really straightforward, isn't it? The youngest child here could understand this. Where I go, you know, the way you know. And then Thomas speaks, and he just doesn't get it. And he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And that's exactly what Jesus has just explained. It's exactly what he's just said. He said, here's where I'm going, and here's how you get there. And Thomas says, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. And in a very real sense, verse 6 is Jesus saying, it's not complicated. It's an expression, you might say, of holy exasperation. But even that doesn't fix this. Even that doesn't expel this lie. Because then Philip comes in. Jesus says in verse 7, if you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and it suffices us. It's enough. And Jesus says, have I been so long time with you and you don't know me yet? You can hear this again, can't you? He's basically saying, Philip, it's not complicated. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's that simple. So we want to see two insights that Christ brings before us here. And the first is this: Christ simplifies the gospel. Christ simplifies the gospel. And I want to show you how he does that in five ways in these words. The first thing is this: he uses simple language. Apart from one word, they are all words of one syllable. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the," big word coming up, "Father but by me." You see that? Jesus simplifies the gospel by using simple language. One syllable words. And then secondly, he paints with vivid pictures. He uses picture language. And let me just pick out one of these here. He says, "I am the way." This is as far as you can possibly be from philosophy. It's picture, it's painting, it's graphic language. Not concepts, not abstracts, not generalities. It's very common, it's very clear, it's very vivid. Everyone can understand this. As soon as a child walks, we understand a path, a way, a road. And Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the way in to salvation. I am the way of salvation. I am the way to heaven. I am the way to God. I am the way into heaven. I am the path. There's no other." He says it's the path. See how vivid, how clear, how pictorial, how appealing, how accessible he is? He simplifies the gospel by using clear, common pictures. Thirdly, he simplifies the gospel by addressing the most basic human needs. The most basic. I mean, there are many, many human needs, and you can read books that will multiply in volumes talking about the existential crisis of humanity and so forth. But that's not Jesus. He looks at humanity and he sees our basic, our most fundamental needs, our core needs. And what are these? "I am lost, I am a liar, and I am lifeless." These are our core needs. That's the basics of fallen humanity. "I'm lost." What does Jesus say? "I am the way." "I'm a liar." What does Jesus say? "I am the truth." "I am lifeless." What does Jesus say? "I am the life." He looks at us in our lostness and says, "I am the way to be found." He looks at us with all our lies about ourselves, about God, about heaven, hell, the world. Everything about us is so full of falsehood. And he says, "I am the truth." He looks at us lifeless, dying, dead in sins, and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." So basic, isn't it? It's so down to earth. It's just so addresses the very core of our beings. We all resonate with this. It all echoes. It rings true, doesn't it? When he says, "I am the way," we say, "Yes, that's what I need because I'm lost." When he says, "I am the truth," we say, "Yeah, that's right. I believe so many lies." When he says, "I am the life," we say, "Yeah, that's me because there's just no spiritual life in me." He simplifies the gospel by addressing basic human needs. Then fourthly, he simplifies the gospel by ruling out all other alternatives to the gospel. I think how complex it would be if the gospel was but one of many ways to God. That's ruled out entirely by Jesus here. In again such a stark and exclusive language. He doesn't say, "I am a way, I am a truth, and I am a life, and I am one way of many to the Father." No. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." He's saying, everyone who has ever come to the Father for salvation, anyone who has ever come to the Father in heaven has come this one and only path, by me. He rules out every alternative. He says, "I am the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." When we read Jesus' words, there are no exaggerations. There are no omissions. There's no economizing with the truth. Every single word is truth. He rules out every alternative. How much simpler can it be? One way, one truth, one life, one way to God. And then we see, fifthly, he simplifies the gospel in his appeal to the most uneducated. Who is he speaking to here? He's speaking to people who others described in another part of the Bible as ignorant and unlearned men. A lot of them are fishermen, uneducated. Probably some of them not able even to read and write. Well, the education was done in these days by following the teacher, the rabbi, and listening. It wasn't book learning and writing. It was very oral. So it's likely the way that the disciples learned with Jesus, partly because at least some of them probably couldn't write, couldn't read. What a blessing. Imagine if the gospel, it needed a higher education or a further education. Imagine if it was so complex that you could only access it when you'd had a certain number of years of education, or you could read at a certain level, or you could write in a certain way, or you had a mind that had a certain capacity for academia. I mean, what a nightmare. We would all be like spending surely all our dollars on trying to get this education. Because nothing is more important, is it, than being saved? And if being saved requires me to be really educated and taught and learned, then that's all I'm going to do for the rest of my life, to make sure. But that's not what we find here. Jesus' followers were largely, at least some of them, uneducated. They didn't need a higher or a further education. It's accessible to the simplest. And I mean, you know that old song. It puts us in such a beautiful childlike way. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. Now we could add a fourth line. Without the Christ, there is no heaven. It's so simple, isn't it? Christ simplifies the gospel. using simple language, painting clear pictures, appealing to basic human needs by ruling out all alternatives and making it accessible to the most uneducated. So, how do we make such a mess of it? If this is so, and it is so, as we can see from the Bible, if this is true, and it is true, that the gospel is simple, how do we make it so complicated? Well, there are a number of complicating factors, a number of ways that we have invented to complexify and complicate the simple gospel. The first way we do it is by unbelief. We say, I can't believe it's that simple. That's just unbelief. Or we do it with emotion or feeling. We say, well, I don't feel it's that simple. Or we might complicate it with fear. We might say, well, you know, I'm afraid it's not that simple. Or we might do it with tradition. It's never been that simple. I've never heard it so simple, and so it cannot be that simple. Or we can complicate it with providence. We can look at the difficulties of this life and the hardships and the sufferings. Just as the disciples, they were about to see Jesus captured, condemned, crucified. They were about to have the greatest providential challenge to the gospel that was possible. And in the midst of that, surely that providence, that difficulty, must have raised the question, well, maybe we were wrong about that simplicity because it looks a lot more complicated now. And we can get into these kinds of holes in providences too. We can end up in such a difficult life situation that it puts layers and complexity over the simplicity of the gospel. And we can say, well, it just doesn't look that simple. Or pride can complicate it. We can say, I don't want it to be that simple. It's offensive to the proud intellect of humanity. We say, no, we want to be learned and educated, and we want to be highly thought of, so we're going to make this really complicated, and we don't want to be thought of as simple folk. So pride complicates the gospel. Doctrine can complicate the gospel. There's no doubt complex doctrines in the Bible. No question about that. But sometimes, if we allow it, doctrine again can put layers of crust and inaccessibility around the simplicity of the gospel so that it's impenetrable. The simplicity is lost. Language can complicate the gospel. We might say, well, I hear it, but it doesn't sound simple. It doesn't sound straightforward. It sounds so difficult and complex and old. Or our culture can complicate the gospel. We might look out at all the so-called faiths and religions and cults in this world, and we might say, well, it doesn't look that simple because, like, it looks as if there's lots and lots of other ways to God as well, and so we let the cultural situation and norms influence us away from the simplicity of the gospel. And above all, and behind all these complications, of course, there's the devil. He is the master complicator. He absolutely hates simplicity when it comes to the gospel. And we can see that. For example, in 2 Corinthians and chapter 11 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You see what the apostle was seeing? He's looking at this church and he's seeing there's lots of difficulties in this church. There's lots of problems. There's lots of challenges. There's lots of influences. And gradually over the years, as all the problems and challenges and difficulties multiply, and as people get drawn into one error and another, one experience after another, he says, "I'm looking at this and you've lost the simplicity of the gospel." He says, "I'm terrified that this could happen." And he's saying, "I tell you who's behind it all, the devil." This is what he did in the garden. He came to Eve and Adam and he said, "It's not that simple. It's much more complicated. Has God really said this so starkly?" Big question mark. And he's saying, just as the devil did then, so he's doing now in Corinthians, so he's doing now today. This is one of his greatest strategies, one of his most successful tactics, to complicate the gospel, to strangle it in complexity. Once he's done that, he can leave us well alone. He's won and done, and so are we. So, here we have Christ simplifying the gospel. Here we have ourselves, aided and abetted by the devil, complicating the gospel. All because of this great lie. The gospel is complicated. You get that lie, it's a catastrophe. You think of, I've got a friend, well, I should really call him an acquaintance, I suppose. He's an engineer. And if you're to ask him to explain something, you'd probably fall asleep. Even just explain that bench to me. And you will get hours of explanation of how this bench is sitting there, and that's boring, but it's not disastrous. What's disastrous is when life is at stake. There's no life at stake here. Time's at stake, but not life. Imagine though you're in a plane, and the plane starts going down, and you didn't pay attention, did you, to the safety announcement before you get off. So the steward and the stewardesses are in the aisle and they're screaming at people, "Get your life jackets on, get your life vests on." And there's one of them and one steward is saying, "Just pull when you hit the water. Just pull." And then the other one is saying, "Now let me explain how this works. There's a certain angle and you get it at the right angle and you pull it in a certain way, then there's this gas. Now, let me explain this gas to you. This gas will come out and it will begin to fill and we've hit the water. We're gone." The people at the back of the plane with the just pull steward, they're all good. The rest, they're gone. This is life or death consequences. And no more so than in the gospel. So this passage calls us, friends, to abandon complications, to abandon that lie. It's too complicated. To identify that when we're saying it to ourselves and say, this is blue flashing lights, sirens blaring, danger. Do not believe this. This is a lie that must be expelled and abandoned and forsaken for your own safety. There's no virtue in it, and a ton of vice. It's an evil. It's a wickedness. It's a lie that must be abandoned. Abandon complexity and accept simplicity. Embrace the simplicity of Christ. Again, let me just say two things, just so you don't mishear me. I'm not saying there's nothing complicated in the Bible. I'm not saying that. You can go to the PRTS library and see 95,000 books to prove that. That there's lots that the greatest minds have never fully figured out. We're not saying there's nothing complicated in the Bible. What we're saying is the gospel is not complicated. The gospel is not complicated. The gospel is simple. And one other thing, I'm not saying the gospel is easy. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's simple. In fact, hear this. It is the hardest thing in the world to believe the gospel is simple. It is the hardest thing in the world to believe the gospel is this simple. This is the obstacle that many of you are stumbling over. You will not believe it's that simple. Use this verse with the authority of Christ to speak to your soul and address the lie you're holding on to that is destroying you and will ultimately damn you, and say to yourself again and again and again, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. Say that to everyone around you in our witness. Let's make sure our witness is clear on this. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. God forbid that any of us end up in hell and all we hear for all eternity is this: I told you it wasn't complicated. I told you it wasn't complicated. You can get a lot wrong about the Bible and still be saved. You can't get this wrong and be saved. You just can't. So again, I say, abandon the lie and embrace the truth. Abandon the lies about complication and embrace the truth of Christ's simplicity. Hear him saying to you, as he said to his disciples through these verses, it's not complicated. And plead with God. Say to him, Lord, I find this so hard to believe. I find it really hard to believe it's that simple. This is the obstacle I can't go over. I believe there's one God. I believe there's one way to God through Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible from start to finish. I believe in election. I believe in a sovereign God. I believe in the holiness of God. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. I believe all the catechism, but I can't believe it's that simple to be saved. Hear him saying, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And don't hear that as a warning. Hear it as an invitation. Hear it as a call. Hear it as his command. Come to me and I'll take you all the way home. It's not complicated. Let's pray.